Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We will endeavor to open up the pages of God's book and answer your questions from the Word of God. We also encourage you to come and worship with us and study God's Word with us. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services in Harrodsburg, and you will always be warmly received. We also want to encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word and tell you a little bit about us. Please check us out. This morning, we want to begin a series that will last for a couple of months on the question, why we believe. We're going to look at various aspects of difficulties that many have with positions that we take according to the Word of Truth that are not very agreeable to many in the religious world, and we want to try to explain why there is a difference. This morning we begin by why we believe baptism is essential for salvation. The essentiality of baptism has been disputed by many in the religious world for many, many years. Some teach that one is saved by faith before and without water baptism. The Bible teaches that one must be baptized in water to be saved. Consequently, there have been many religious debates on this particular question. Many of our friends believe in baptism and practice it, but they do not believe it is essential to one's salvation. In any controversy, it's helpful to clarify what the issue really is, what the question and issue is not. The question at hand is not whether or not one is saved by faith. We are. It is not whether or not one is saved by the blood of Christ. We are. It is not whether one is saved by God's grace, for indeed we are. It is not whether or not we are saved by baptism alone, for we are not. It is not a question of whether we are not we are saved by works of merit, we are not. Neither is it a question of whether one is saved by water. Again, we are not. What the question and issue is? The question is whether or not water baptism is essential, necessary, in order for one to gain salvation. It is when or at what point one is saved by faith. It is a question of when or at what point the blood of Christ is applied. Why is this so important? If baptism is essential, then any who are not baptized will be lost, and those who teach that it's not essential are false teachers. However, if it is not essential, then those who teach that it is, we're abiding where God has not bound. All these issues need to be addressed. Well, what is the evidence? Well, let's look at the evidence contained in the Word of God. Mark 16:16 says it's essential. The text says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he who believeth not shall be condemned." Let's consider two possible statements. First, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Second, he that believes is saved, then he should be baptized. Which one of these do you believe? Which one did Jesus say? Here's a sentence that is parallel in structure. "He that eats and digests shall be healthy, but he who does not eat shall be unhealthy." What is the essential to eating? You understand it is eating and digesting. However, to be unhealthy, all I have to do is leave off eating. Likewise, this passage says that there are two things that are essential in order for one to be saved. Let's suppose the Ford Motor Company said, "He that believeth in the Ford Motor Company and is baptized in our pool shall receive a new Ford." What must one do to get the new Ford? Could one argue, "I believe, so give me the Ford and then I will be baptized"? No, you have to fulfill the conditions. Acts 2:38, baptism is for remission of sin. The text says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Note that repentance and baptism are joined by the coordinating conjunction "and." They are joined like two railroad cars. The direction in which one of those goes, so goes the other. If repentance is for, and that means in order to obtain, the remission of sin, so is baptism. However, if baptism is for, because of, that is, one has already received the remission of sin, as some argue, then repentance goes in the same direction. Of course, we know that's not true. A parallel passage for the remission of sin is found and will help us understand its meaning. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins, he said in Matthew 26:28. That is the same expression in the English and in the Greek as found in Acts 2:38. If baptism is because sins have already been forgiven, then Jesus shed his blood for the same reason. Yet if the blood was shed in order to obtain the remission of sin, then we are baptized for that same reason. 1 Peter 3:21 saves us. The text says, the like figure wherein to baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, again, consider two opposing statements. First, baptism does now save us. Second, baptism does not save us. Which one of these do you believe? Which one of those is what Peter said? Note the comparison in the context. 8 souls, Noah and his family, were transported from the old world before the flood to the new world after the flood by means of water. Thus, 8 souls were saved by water. Likewise means the like figure. We are transported from our old life of sin to a new life of salvation by baptism. Another evident text, Galatians 3:26-27, baptized into Christ. The text says, for we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you were baptized into Christ and put on Christ. Paul affirms, you are something. What are they? They are children of God by faith, verse 26. Then he says, for, denoting the reason which follows, the reason is you have been baptized into Christ. The point is that these were the children of God because they have been baptized into Christ. In every case of conversion, and you can check it out, the person was baptized. Not every case specially mentions faith, but we know from other passages that faith is essential. Not every case specifically mentions repentance, but we know from other passages that it's essential. Yet every case mentions baptism. The Jews, Acts 2:38. The Samaritans, Acts 8:12. The eunuch in Acts 8:38. Saul in Acts 22:16. Cornelius in Acts 10:48. Lydia, Acts 16:15. The jailer, the Philippian jailer, Acts 16:33. And the Corinthians, Acts 18:8. Every conversion ends at the water. You must ask yourself why. Why does conversion end at the water? The answer is obvious. That is where the blood of Christ is obtained. Salvation in Christ. We are baptized into Christ. Paul wrote, in whom we have redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1:7. What is taking place? Redemption. Where does it take place? In Christ. How does it take place? By the blood. In the next chapter he wrote, but now in the Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. Again, what is being discussed? Being made near means the same as redemption. Where does it take place? In Christ. How does it take place? By the blood. 3 verses later, the apostle said, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. In verse 16, what is taking place? Being reconciled, the same as being redeemed and be made near. Where does it take place? In one body, same as being in Christ. How does it take place? By the cross. That's where the blood was shed. Now the question, how does one get into Christ? We are baptized into Christ, as we read earlier in Galatians 3:27. How does one get into the one body? He is baptized into one body, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13. Now to be fair, let's look at some of the objections that men offer. One is saved by faith, thus it's not by baptism. To refute the idea that baptism is essential, denominationalists often appeal to passages that say we are saved by faith and conclude that means baptism is not and cannot be a condition for salvation. If faith eliminates baptism, it would also eliminate repentance. The passage that mentions faith cannot mean salvation is by faith alone. James 2:24 proves that. Examples can be found of those who believed but we're not saved. The demons believe in James 2:19, yet they're not saved. And the rulers, the chief rulers, believed in Jesus, but they wouldn't confess him. John 8:31-44. One is saved by the blood of Christ, thus not by baptism. Just like the previous objection, passages are cited that teach one is saved by the blood of Christ. So they conclude that baptism cannot be essential. If the passages that say salvation is by the blood of Christ means that baptism is not essential, they also mean that faith is not essential. The blood is what saves us. Baptism is merely the wind. We are washed in the blood, Revelation 1:5. Yet baptism washes away sins, according to Acts 22:16. Remission of sin is by the blood of Christ, Matthew 26:28. But we are baptized for that reason, according to earlier passages that we read in Acts 2:38. The thief on the cross was saved without baptism. It is argued that since Jesus told one of the thieves on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," Luke 23:43, they conclude that we too can be saved without being baptized. It is not said that the thief repented. Does that mean we don't have to repent? Acts 17:30-31 says we do. It is not said that the thief believed that Jesus was raised from the dead. Does that mean we don't have to believe in the resurrected Christ? The thief lived under and died under the Old Testament, before Jesus commanded Mark 16:16. Thus, the new law was not enforced, Hebrews 9:16-17. Cornelius was saved without baptism because he received the Holy Spirit before he was baptized. If the reception of the Holy Spirit proves salvation before baptism, it proves salvation before faith. The Spirit fell as Peter began to speak, Acts 11:15. That means that Cornelius and his household received the Spirit before they heard the message that produced the faith, which is how faith is produced, Romans 10:17. This occurred at the beginning, not at the end of the sermon. What this proved was not that they were saved without baptism, but that the Gentiles were were subject to the gospel. That was something that could save them as well as the Jews. Acts 11:18. Mark 16:16 does not say that he is not baptized when describing the one that could not be damned. Not only would that not be necessary, it would be absurd. To be saved, one must believe and be baptized. However, if one does not believe, he will not be baptized. That alone will cause him to be lost. Let's go back to our eating and digesting illustration one more time. He that eats and digests shall be healthy. He that does not eat shall be unhealthy. Two things are essential to be healthy, eating and digesting. However, if one does not eat, he will not digest because there is nothing to digest. There is no need, and it would be absurd to say, but he who does not eat and does not digest will be unhealthy. Same in Mark 16:16. In these objections, they are trying to get around plain passages of Scripture that we read. The Bible says that one is baptized into the death of Christ, Romans 6:3-4. It is spiritual circumcision, cutting away the sin, Colossians 2:11-13. It is God's means of giving the blood of Christ to the alien sinner. If salvation is to be received by the sinner, he must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. He must believe it, John 8:24. He must repent, Acts 17:30. Confess, Acts 8:38. And to be baptized, Acts 2:38. Yes, listener, baptism is absolutely essential to one's salvation. Just read the book. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.